This is Carl Johnson with an essay from the back page. It has often been said that the person you marry can make or break you, and the truth of that maxim is expressed several times in the book of Proverbs, and it is illustrated in the life of Elder Walter Scott, one of the brightest figures of the American Restoration movement. Scott was first married to Sarah Whitsitt in 1823 at the age of 26. She was a jewel and the perfect complement to Walter. She inspired his ministry, overlooked his lack of money sense, and endured his poverty. After she died suddenly and unexpectedly in 1849, Scott wrote of her, "Best of wives, tenderest of mothers, most faithful of friends, a Christian in faith, works, and charity." In 1850, Walter began working with the church in Maeslick, Kentucky. The loss of Sarah, whose encouragement Walter depended upon so much, and the fact that his grown children lived in Pittsburgh, left him extremely lonely. In an effort to fill the void, he married a young woman named Nanny B. Allen. Walter was 54 at the time, but Nanny was many years younger. When friends cautioned her that she would outlive him, she replied, "I would rather be Walter Scott's widow than the wife of any other man." Annie was beautiful, affectionate, truly pious, and deeply devoted to Walter. While he still grieved over the loss of Sarah, Walter learned to love Annie with great affection. It was Annie, however, who died first. After only 4 years of marriage, she succumbed to tuberculosis. At the age of 60, Walter married Eliza Sandridge, a rich widow who had been a member of the Maeslick congregation for several years. Walter moved into the Sandage mansion, and for the first time, he found himself in financially comforting circumstances. The marriage itself, however, was never congenial. Differing views toward money have been the source of problems for many married couples, and that was the case for Walter and Eliza. Eliza lived all of her days in affluent surroundings and had a strong need for the finest material possessions. Walter, however, did not understand such a lifestyle. He believed that money was to be used, or even better, to be given away. In financial matters, Walter was impractical and impulsive. Often he would go to a store for a basket of groceries and then give them all away before he got home. Once he had two cows and he gave a neighbor one cow because the neighbor had none. Such impulsive behavior by Walter irritated Eliza at first, but eventually it became unbearable. Blinded to the poetic fineness and the spiritual saintliness of Walter, she became shrewish in her role as a wife. On occasions, Eliza would rage at him, drive him from the house, lock him out, and forbid him to return. On such occasions, he would spend the night sitting on the doorstep of a neighbor, and in the early morning he would ask, "I wonder if you would take me in for some breakfast this morning. The little lady isn't feeling well." On one occasion, after Eliza had expelled him from the house, Walter was so depressed he disappeared from Maeslick and was gone for several days. Eventually, a couple of brethren found him wandering the streets of Cincinnati in a daze of misery. Fearing a scandal in the brotherhood if one of the great leaders of the Restoration movement separated from his wife, the brethren persuaded Walter to return home, and they helped work out a truce between the two. Subsequently, the two lived together behind the imposing doors of Eliza's mansion in an uncertain marital climate until Walter died with typhoid pneumonia on April the 23rd, 1861. Scott's marital life vividly illustrates the maxim, "The person you marry can make or break you." In his first two marriages, Scott learned the truth of Solomon's words in Proverbs 31 and verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies." In his third and final marriage, however, Scott learned the truth of Solomon's words in Proverbs 21 and verse 9. "It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." In particular, Scott's story should serve as a warning to preachers contemplating marriage and to women who are contemplating marrying preachers. While I would not trade my vocation for any other, preaching does involve some sacrifice for all members of the family. Most preachers are required to spend time away from their families, and they're probably not going to be able to afford the very finest in material possessions. However, if you find the right companion, life can be especially gratifying. If I've accomplished anything for the glory of God in the years that I've been preaching, it is primarily due to the fact that God has blessed me with a wife who is the perfect complement to our vocation. Solomon said, "Her price is far above rubies," and I know that Walter Scott would agree.